Welcome back to Sports Day WA on this very wintry WA Day holiday, even though most people have been inside, which has been great. A lot of people listening to SEN WA, particularly through Perth and the southwest, of course, on SEN Spirit 621 in Bunbury in the southwest, and also on 1494 there in Margaret River, who came on board last week. You're in the Goldfields, in the Pilbara, in the Kimberley. Great to have you on board. And it's great to have Brett Phillips on board. It is the Battle of Clay at Roland Garros. And of course, Roland Garros is now streaming on Stan Sport. Every match ad-free, and four courts are in 4K. It's a great look. And also the Australasian Academy of Tennis Coaches. That's AATC.tennis. And Brett joins us on the program now. Brett, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Pete. Nice to chat to WA. Yes, we're turning into the second week and it's interesting from here. The cream is certainly rising to the top, and I think the two big guns on the men's side, Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic, they put a firm stake in the ground last night, Pete. Two emphatic performances, and we're still hoping for that big semi-final come a little bit later this week.
We'll go to Novak in just a moment, but a lot of headlines regarding a women's doubles match where a doubles combination from Japan were disqualified. Take us through that, because there's been a bit of criticism also to the other pair who reportedly, and you can tell us who they were, I've got the details here, but you can tell us more about it, were very unsportsmanlike with their conduct on the court where the incident happened.
Yeah, I think one of them was Marie Bouchkova, wasn't it?
That's right.
And
Sarah Cerebes Tormo?
Tormo, yes, the Spaniard. So, unfortunate. It's the letter of the law is, you know, you cannot hit anyone within the parameters of that tennis court or for the crowd, for that matter. Now, there's been a few other incidents through the first week. I think young Mira Andreeva, the young 16-year-old who lost to Coco Gauff, who's going to be a star of the future, she got a code for smacking the ball into the stands, which, you know, could have taken out a spectator potentially. So, look, we've seen over the years, obviously the most decorated one was Novak at the US Open, where he, you know, vigorously hit the ball in frustration in the direction of the line judge. There was no argument about that one. That was a straight disqualification. You can't do that. In the case of what happened yesterday, the Japanese pairing, obviously there was some frustration, but a ball came off one of the girls' rackets down the end to a young ball girl. It certainly didn't hit her with great force, but she was a little bit emotional about it because it did catch her off guard. And then the tournament referee, Wayne McEwen, is an Australian who we see Wayne courtside at all the big major events around the world. He came out, but he hadn't actually seen the vision and chatted to all parties and basically just said, well, okay, it's a straight disqualification, whether it's vigorous, whether it's, you know, harmless in a sense. But I think if he hadn't been able to see the vision, I think that's important in making these decisions. Mm. If he hadn't been able to see the vision, I think he may have made a more common sense decision in that regard.
Did he make that decision? Did he make that decision after the so-called complaints of Bouchkova and Tormo? Because what I'm hearing is the chair umpire gave Kato, who's the Japanese player, Miyu Kato, a warning, but then the opponents asked for the Japanese pair to be disqualified or defaulted from the match. So that's where the unsportsmanlike conduct came from people outside.
Yes, correct. So he has made that decision speaking to the Japanese pairing for quite some time, spoke to the opposition, spoke to the young ball girl, spoke to the chair umpire, and has just given a straight disqualification. I mean, by the letter of the law, I suppose they're trying to send a message to all players. You just can't, whether it's, total vigorous frustration or whether it's, a ball just sort of casually going off your racket towards the back end of the court, you just can't strike anyone. There's a lot of people, particularly at the French, because it's a fairly full court still with lines people and so forth, whereas obviously with technology now, some of the other Grand Slams, it's a little bit of a cleaner court. Probably a little stiff. But I think it's a warning to the players that you've got to be in control of these things. We've seen um, some, some incidents that could have been really ugly, particularly from a crowd point of view over the last week.
All right, let's go to the action. And there's some really good action as we enter the second week there at Roland Garros. You mentioned Novak Djokovic. I see that he's got a bit of history on his side now at the French Open, and he's beaten Rafael Nadal. Djokovic becoming the player to play in the most quarterfinals at any major of all time. And he's there, and he takes on Karen Khachanov for a spot in the semi-finals. He's looking okay, the Serb, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's looking good. Yeah, 17th at Roland Garros. I think he's 55th quarterfinal overall. So, yeah, it's amazing how this is such a pattern, and we've seen it across 22 majors, how Novak sort of works his way through the first week. There might be a little hiccup or two, but he was in no mood to replicate the last round where he had to play 3.5 hours. He wanted to get out there and get that done very clinically, and it was Djokovic when he made 20 unforced errors for the match. His serving was exquisite. We know how good he is from the back of the court. He won the bulk of points at the net, and it was a class above. I mean, great job by Juan Pablo Farias, a young Peruvian who is streaks ahead of any other ranked Peruvian player. And you've got to go back probably two or three decades for one of their players to have made some impact on the tour. And he was a little bit of a deer in headlights. I think he made the comment. He said, "How do I get past this guy? He just defends everything. He gets every ball back." His flexibility to change direction, get off, you know, both wings, and you know, turn defence into offence is incredible. So, yeah, Novak, look, he certainly ticked the box. He's got eyes for the prize. But yeah, and Khachanov in the next round, he's got an 8-1 head to head. The only time Karen beat him was, I think, the Paris Masters going back 3 years ago. He's having a great tournament. Knocked out Thanasi, of course, on Friday night. So he's in a good headspace, being at the pointy end of the last three Grand Slams. But as we know, playing against Novak, you've got to go up a big level.
So Novak is looking good. Of course, Stefanos Tsitsipas won overnight as well. He's into the second week. Let's look at the women's draw before we look at a couple of the Aussies, including our very own Storm Hunter, who's still playing at Roland Garros. How is it looking for you on the women's side of the draw?
Gee, there's some good stories. I mean, certainly, Iga Swiatek got a couple of bagels on the weekend, so she was absolutely brilliant. She plays Serenko tonight. It could be a very similar scoreline, Pete. You know, Sabalenka gets past Sloane Stephens, tough contest in the night match. Of course, that last night, Arena, you know, wants to certainly get to the business end. She's showing all the signs that she probably should. It is looking like a 1v2. Rybakina, that was disappointing, had to pull out with the respiratory issues over the weekend. But the one is the crowd favourite, no doubt, is Elena Svitolina, who's on this 9-match winning streak, married to Gael Monfils. We know the story, being pregnant the last 12 months. So, gee, her matches, what a roller coaster, and the emotion around those matches. Hopefully she's got something left in the tank. But a little danger, I think, is Karolina Muchova, who made a semi of the Australian Open when she knocked out her very own Ash in the quarters going back 3 years ago. She is a classy player. She's got great feel out on the tennis court up against Pavlyuchenkova, who made the final 2 years ago. So, yeah, Sabalenka to get past Svitolina is going to need to play Pete at her absolute best, but it looks like Iga and Arena, I think, towards the business end of this tournament.
And before we let you go, and of course you'll be keeping us up to date here on Sports Day WA during the course of the week as we head to the weekend, an exciting weekend when the finals will be played in the women's and the men's. Storm Hunter, we know her as Storm Sanders when she was living over here, still in action in the doubles.
Yeah, she is. So her and Elise Mertens play their third round tonight up against Kudermetova and Samsonova, third seed, so you'd certainly back them in there. And Ellen Perez still in with her regular partner from the United States, Nicole Melica. They've already made it through to the quarterfinals. So both would love to win a slam for the first time. A young girl in the juniors last night, Emerson Jones, is a gold coaster. 14 years of age, Emerson, won her first round in the juniors, which was brilliant. She is a fine talent. Her older brother, Hayden, went out in a really tight contest. And a young boy from Canberra, Charlie Camus, who's one we need to look out for. We had him on the first serve a few weeks ago. Now he'll play in the juniors, so yeah, we'll keep an eye on them as well.
And speaking of the first serve, that's on tonight. Follow Sports Day WA here on the SEN WA network. What's on tonight, Brett?
Yeah, we'll get across to Roland Garros. So Courtney Walsh, of course, long-time tennis and sports journalist, will join us. Mark Woodford, will also have a chat to us on the ground. Taylor Preston, who we plugged was going to be on the show last week, Pete, we just couldn't quite make connection, but we caught up with young Taylor from your neck of the woods on our socials during the week. So for those that don't tune in there, we'll play that chat on the radio. Great college segment. Alex Vukic, of course, the latest Aussie to crack the top 100. We'll talk about his college experience. And Olivia Gadecki we'll talk about too. Had a really good win on the ITF Tour away from the bright lights of Paris. So I'll have a good chat about that tonight as well.
Yeah, the first serve tonight here on the SEN Network. Thanks for joining us, Brett, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you, Pete.
Brett Phillips joining us here for a Roland Garros update. And of course, as I mentioned, the first serve follows Sports Day WA. Roland Garros is now streaming on Stan Sport. Every match ad-free, four courts in 4K. And before I go, it's time for an injury update thanks to Bupa. Switch to Bupa, Canstar's outstanding value health insurance for 2022. Of course, concussion for Elijah Hewitt. He will miss the game this week for the West Coast Eagles in Adelaide. And we are waiting to hear, as we know, the outcome of Jordan De Goey at the tribunal tomorrow night. And also, Crow Tom Doty has confirmed he's ruptured his ACL. So he'll be out for the remainder of the 2023 season. So it's a bit of bad luck there for the Crows player. So that's an injury update. Thanks to Bupa. Join almost 4 million Australians and prepare for life with Bupa, because life happens. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to Oliver for helping to produce the program. Also to Lee Fletcher, my gun panel operator. Does more than just panel, let me tell you. I look forward to your company tomorrow. Hope you've enjoyed the WA Day long weekend, even though today it's been quite miserable with the weather. No doubt it's been a good day just to rest up before we get stuck into another working week. Thanks for your time. See you tomorrow from 5. Thanks to Toolmart, the Complete Tool Centre, and also Kia here on SEN WA.